Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for May 13th, 2024. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is episode number 429. Today I have arranged for Michael Filigera to join us again. His sites are logicalsignals.com and tradershelpingtraders.com, and he's going to do a solo market update for us. So great to have him here, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David. Excuse me. We also have the raspy voice going. My name is Michael Filigera, and again, I am with LogicalSignals.com and TradersHelpingTraders.com, and I have been trading. I began trading in 1979, and I was an options market maker, and I've been an options market maker here on the Pacific Coast Exchange in San Francisco, and also I've traded on the London Traded Options Market, the EOE, the European Options Exchange, which was in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And then that's where I also got my first exposure and introduction to an all-electronic exchange, which was the DTB, or the German Bourse, while I lived in Amsterdam. I came back to the U.S. in 97, went back down to the Pacific. As everything became more electronic, and there was no need to have an open outcry pit on a floor when people could electronically just place their orders with the exchanges themselves, and they got routed to the best market at the time. So things got too slow, and I decided to get off the floor, and I went and set myself up, excuse me, in my home office, and I continued to trade options for a while. But in 2014, I decided that late 2013, 2014, that I was going to give my shot at being a day trader, and I was choosing the futures market. So I was trading at the time the S&P 500 and also the NASDAQ 100 and also others as they would become interesting to me. And so that's pretty much where I've hung out and stayed. And so I continue to trade for myself, but now I basically am in the NASDAQ. Excuse me. So I trade the NASDAQ each day, the NASDAQ future. But I'm going to start here with the S&P because that is the format that we use on this particular show. And we update accordingly from the S&P. And so I'm going to start on my 4-hour chart. And what I normally do, like the first question that normally we get asked or ask ourselves here on the show is, what do we feel will happen to the S&P between now and Friday? Are we going to close higher or lower? Now, I'm going to go over to the SPX, and so that we can take a look to see what today's opening was in the SPX. And this would have been, and it says the market opened at 52.33. And so I'm going to say that we're going to use that as the open. And so the question would be higher or lower. And that's a very challenging question right now, to be honest with you. And the reason is that we have so many things coming out this week that will ultimately have an effect on what these markets do. And it's going to be how the markets actually interpret. So we have, just going to take a look at the numbers. Tomorrow we have producer pricing. And then we have Jerome Powell will be out speaking tomorrow. On Wednesday, we have consumer pricing. And then we have U.S. retail sales of the Empire State Manufacturing. So we have quite a renewal, I guess I would say renewal, that got a lot of the economic news did not come out last week, but is coming out this week. And so it's kind of almost playing a catch up. We have a number of Fed presidents or governors all out speaking each day this week. And that's not unusual as we start to approach, you know, how they're going to be dealing with interest rates and how that all fits in. On Thursday, we have initial jobless claims, Philly Fed manufacturing, housing starts, building permit, industrial production, capacity utilization, and four Fed people. On Friday, which I would think would be almost the most important one this week, and that's the U.S. leading economic indicators. That's actually the data besides PCE that the Fed pays very close attention. So again, starting tomorrow, we have a bunch of economic numbers that could have a strong play against what the market will do. Now, I'm going to go back to the chart and say, okay, so how do I want to really put this in? to say higher or lower. It becomes a very, very difficult decision. But if I based it on my count and I based it on how things were trading today, then the S&P is getting pulled in two directions because of the overlap that the S&P has, of course, with the broader market, so the broader New York market, but with the NASDAQ. And so the NASDAQ today, and the fact that Apple Computer is in the Dow, in the S&P, in the NASDAQ, and I don't know if it's in the Russell, but I bet you it is. But in the first three, it is. And in the S&P and the NASDAQ, it is the heaviest weighted stock. And so what it does, so the market tends to do. So as we check in and we look, it's like the NASDAQ now is just barely hanging on to being up on the day. But I guarantee you they're going to renew it. And they will push it all the way back again. And why? Because they're not taking down Apple. So Apple got news today, and the news was that they got a good boost from somebody because of now that they're going to be associated with, through one of their chips or something, with artificial intelligence. And that was enough. And that has taken the stock up thus far today over $3. And so when you have a $3 move in Apple, that's going to be probably equivalent to several dollars in the NASDAQ. So in other words, it's more like $15 to $20, and plus just the anticipatory, you know, just like, oh, that's bullish, and so everybody else starts to buy in or they cover. Now, you know, forgive me for the cough. So what does that really tell us? It kind of just is what the market is doing today. If those inflation numbers or if the PPI and the CPI come out remotely on a negative side, it's not going to make any difference what AI intends to do. I think the market will go down and will go down hard. If any of the manufacturing surveys come out and show that there's a decline or, you know, something more negative to the market, we'll get a very negative reaction via the futures and then the stocks. And right now, we're getting a broad mix. We're now seeing that they're beginning to hit the markets. They drive them down to towards the session lows that we have. And the other thing that I want to add, and it's really a conversation that becomes very, very complex, is that so much during our day, it isn't a matter of did the market just turn bullish or did the market just turn bearish on some type of news or anything like that. It's like, no, not necessarily. I've not seen anything today. But what I do pay attention to are options. Now, it's something that I discuss in my own analysis that I present every day, and it's not something that is just wildly anticipated or expected because it gets very complex. But it is now plays a very big part. And basically, the reason is because of zero DTE option. Zero DTE option stands for 0 days to expiration. So we have them. We have those expirations every day, Monday through Friday. And not only in the SPX and not only in the ES, but we have it in the NDX, we have it in the NQ, we have it in the Qs, we have it in the Spiders, we have it in many of the other ETFs. So what that does is that produces where you've got large enough players where they come in and they start either buying or selling the market at a particular time. And it really has an influence on what happens to the options. And any buying or selling can be aggravated by the adjustments that need to be made to their position, a lot of the options. Now, what does that all mean to us as traders or position traders? And if you're a position trader, nothing. You're just going to have to write out what it's doing. The main purpose that I'm talking now about them is that there's no news. There's no news to say, well, why did the Dow suddenly go from being up 90 to being down 90? Why is the NASDAQ, which was up 50 or 60, now barely trying to hold on, being unchanged? And that's basically the reason. So again, if I had to go on what my call would be, it would depend on my Elliott wave count. And I'm on a 4-hour chart again, and I'm going to just show you that what I have done is here underneath all of this, I have a minor fourth wave. And so if I pull this out one more, let me go over to keep trying to change this. All my charts got turned over to, I've been a thinkorswim and a TD Ameritrade customer for many, many, many years. And then Schwab bought them, and my turn to get put over onto the Schwab side happened over this weekend. And so they promised me that all my charts would come in as the same as I left them, and that's just not the case. So forgive me as I try to work through all of this, but I want to go back out and to show you. This is the October 2022 low. And that was a major low, but it marked the completion point for what I'm calling a primary A wave. And what I would need to do one more time is to kind of go out to our all-time high, which we've exceeded, but at the time, and we reached on January the 3rd, 2022. And in the cash market, that level was 4,818.62. So from that level, I marked it as the completion point for a cycle degree third wave. So this would, I need to add one, the intermediate primary cycle. So that puts us in a cycle fourth wave correction. And within that, what's going to be is an A wave, a B wave, and then a C wave back down, and that'll complete the correction. So within that, here's the A wave. I think we're finishing up the B wave. Now, what is that B wave going to look like? Well, it has an A, a B, and a C. So those we have in place, and now we've got that intermediate degree C wave. So now I'm going to bring this back down to the daily chart, which they see they don't ever save. And so now what we got going on, there's the bottom of the B wave, and now we have five waves of minor degree to complete that intermediate. So we're counting those out. One, two, three. So there was the minor four that I spoke about, and now we're in that minor fifth wave going up. So I'm going to go back out to the four-hour chart, and we have that even broken down a little bit so we can see the internals. It's not been an easy run up. Now, granted, it does continue to appear and produce itself as like, this is a very bullish move. But I think when we look at the internals, at least on an Elliott basis, that yes, it's bullish, but it is not clean. It is not does not bring about a feeling within me that, oh, we're just going to go to 5,500. We're going to go to 6,000 here in the S&P. It doesn't. It does feel more to me that we are finishing a move. And the market in that manner is jumping around on all kinds of different thoughts and narratives that are being presented through our market. We just are still working our way through the end of first quarter earnings. And so we saw a lot of earnings come out that some were misses, some were disappointments, but most of them, even within the Mag 7, were not bad earnings. They weren't destructive to the market. They may, like for example, in Meta, their earnings were actually quite good. What knocked them out of the pool, so to speak, was when management or you know, CFO or CEO came out during those earnings reports in the press conference and said that the company intended on spending up to $40 billion for their metaverse products and on other upgrades to, you know, for the company. And so the market did not like that. The market then sent Meta from 496 is where it was before the earnings were reported. And that day or the next day, it traded down to 400. Now, since it has recovered, and it's recovered quite nicely, now trading at 468. So it's come all the way back on the hopes that artificial intelligence and the fact that the Fed has to start cutting is all going to come through. Now, the market starts to get a little sketchy. I will be honest, it gets a little sketchy. But here we are within a minor fifth wave going up. Now, what's going to be inside that are going to be five waves of minute degree, and those are labeled in the white. And so we've done one and two. We're in minute wave three. And minute wave three is going to consist of five waves of minuet degree. So the understanding is that with Elliott wave, they're building blocks. And you start with the simple premise. It's like five wave structure. Oh, in this case, it's like I only have three. And this could be a four. And here are the Fibonacci levels for what could end up being a more conclusive fourth wave. So being that we started by going up, and we're now going to come back down, leaves this interior as it's an ABC coming down. And so my first level would be 51.85.70. And that's basis the cash. Now, between the cash And the futures market, 52.43, and right now at 52.20. So there's still about $23 in premium future over cash. So if the cash were to come down to, let's say, 51.90 or even 5200, then it's basically just dropping back down to a level that really was resistance for quite some time. But I would expect we're going to get a little bit deeper. And so maybe that's, you know, they're not going to like, or this could all happen very quickly after CPI or PPI, and then the market bounces again. And that's also very possible, that instead of the reaction to the news is not long-lived. In other words, it just comes in, it does it, and it's done, and then they get back to what they were doing previously. That's also very possible. Now, how do we then put this all together for Friday? And so if I were to say, do I think the market's going to be higher or lower on Friday? My first instinct would be to say lower, because I think I have more room to the downside than I do to the upside. And with the current environment, I think we will likely end up lower and in a corrective phase. Now, does that mean that next week, the week after, yeah, market could just resume and keep going up? And totally based on something else in the other narrative the market happens to be feeling at a time. So that's the difficulty, right? And these swings, even in the S&P, are getting to be pretty low. So it makes doing analysis and even just putting on positions very, very difficult. But I would have to think that we are going lower on Friday. But that might just be for Friday's opening, to be very honest with you. Because again, what do we got going on this Friday? We have the May expiration, which is not going to be gigantic. The big one to keep an eye out for would be the June expiration. The June expiration now is building to be very, very large. But what we have seen in the S&P and across the board and all of the underlying, all of the component companies, what we have seen is an increase in call buying. Now, that normally you would associate with it the market or the traders are, you know, whether they're retail or whether they're professional, believes that the market is going to go, or at least the market in Apple and AMAT and AMD and Amazon, et cetera, all the things that I've listed, the market's going to go up. And so here we are. And the Elliott wave count actually supports very cleanly. We've just finished 1, 2, and 3. So we're still looking for a completion point for the minute wave. And I'm suspecting that's going to be at 52.60 or as high as 53.12. And then we do another correction, and then we do another rest. So there's several levels that we're looking at here that the market can get to. And we're now in the month that notoriously suggests lower levels. Now, what do I also work with, excuse me, cycles. And there are a lot of cycles that are coming in that cycle like a trough. So we're looking for a cycle low, not necessarily going to be pushing the market down to like 4,000 or anything like that. But the market will come in and produce lower levels as the cycles put that pressure on the downside pressure. Now, that's coming up as well. And so we have a little bit of an upcycle, which should expire or just move through by Friday. Then we go into a very strong period where the market should actually decline. And that would be as these cycles move to their trough. And that comes at the end of May to the 5th of June. Then we get a little bit of an upcycle, and not it doesn't really go that long, but maybe for like 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then we go into the next turn, and we're looking for that low into September. So you see how now you can run Elliott and the cycles kind of together a little bit, right? So if I'm kind of coming up here and I'm saying I have minute wave 1, minute wave 2, I'm looking for minute wave 3 high. I may get that minute wave 3 high by Friday of this week. Well, what happens after that? Well, then we go into a minute fourth wave correction. And here, folks, is this up a little bit. Here, this was minor 4, A, B, C. And look what happened there, right? This is a 4-hour chart. You've got many days. But this, it started to come down on the 28th of March. And it finished that on the 19th. Now, interesting that the 19th, not 19th of March, 19th of April. And what that date represents is the April expiration, which was a push lower going into that expiration. So interestingly, we're coming up to the May expiration on Friday. Are we going to get another push? Will it come via the minuet wave four? Which actually, here's the markers. It can go, there's the first one, 5186, we'll call it. The second one's 5150. What it can't do is it, because it would break the pattern, is it can't go below 5123, 5024. Then this would not be a fourth wave. I'd have to revisit what this could. And it could really turn into a whole bunch of alternative views on what the market does next. But if it were to break that level, then the market's in trouble. And it's likely going to go down and break 5,000. So if it breaks 5,130, not only that, is it breaking 5,200, which still should provide some support because it was such strong resistance. And it was what we call in the options world, a call wall. So it was resistant, just like this 5,000 area back here in April was a put wall. So it should have been support. So as I try to say, not that it's necessarily 100% true, but look at it this way. When this call wall got broken at 5,200, got poked up, they came back down. They tried to get it back below. It didn't. It went up and look what happened after. Then we got a serious run up. And when did that occur? On Friday during a daily expiration. So things kind of get surrounding expirations and how positions are going to get closed out. Well, now we're coming back down. So I would assume that there might, the 5,200 level option-wise should still be pretty large. And I can go over, and these are just, I'm spending the time because it's just me today and I hope you all don't mind. And actually, if you want to just put into the chat, if there's something that you would like me to go over and review. So what we're going to do is we're going to come way down and right to the 5,200. I'm going to see what the open interest is. Open all of them. I can see there's a lot of optional trading. Okay, there's the 5,200 and the open interest volume and open 35,000. So it's still there. So this call wall is still there. And it would not surprise me to see the market and the players push it back to that level by Friday, to below that level by Friday. So what's that going to do? It pushes it right up into, we're going to go right up into this. And again, if it breaks, then we go into this. And what we're looking for now is an A, B, and now we're looking for C wave. It could bring us into there. Then we rally a little bit, and then we come back down. So, hey, George, yes, I'd be glad to do that for you. So how then should we be answering our question? And I'm trying to answer it to say, well, I think it'll be lower and then give you the reason as to why I believe it'll be lower and what we fill in. Some of that may be important. Some of it may be like, eh, who cares? So let's leave it to say that I'm thinking that, well, we come in, market comes down, maybe rallies a little bit, then we come down again. And then to put in that cycle trough, that low towards the end of May beginning. I'm going to move away from the S&P right now. And what I just did get a request from George was, by the way, George, so nice to hear from you, even though it's just to ask me for that. Here's the GDX. I happen to know because George and I have been, we've discussed many, many things together and one of his favorite miners. And so we have the gold miner. And so I don't necessarily have a count that goes with the gold miners, but if I take it from this low, George, I would look at this and go, I have a 1, 2, and then 3, 4. That's only 3. So it almost looks like that this high may have completed a 3. No, it did finish 5 up, but I don't know of what. And then we get A, and this is an irregular, but we got a B, and now we're coming back down. And there's a very strong possibility that it could just come all the way back to that low. And so one way that you could check that out, since it was appearing to be an irregular show, I don't think it's going to get far, but I think it could get back and equal that. Because the other side of the coin is, let me take off fibs, which would just be the normal. Getting used to it. It's supposed to anchor. I've got set. Nope. Sorry, everybody. Okay. So, yeah, it didn't really do any that big of an irregular. So it's a little bit difficult to say that it's going to come all the way down some bit, but I think it has the potential to at least come back down to 3189. Maybe 20 cents, 0.6 did here. And before it rallies, gold somehow is finding its weaker self today. It's not helping miner. But Let me just kind of tell you about gold as well. So on this one, I think, George, I think it can come down. If I look at gold itself, see, it's still correcting. And this is getting a little bit weird because this could be just wave a four. I was actually thinking it could be the whole complete four is A, B, but then this gets, so it may only be A, B, C, A, a B and a C wave, and can't really tell you, but gold has the possibility to put in on fibs or just what any type of correction off run. And 382 is 2276. So this could come back to 2276, even get itself down to 2223. We should also have support here at 50, but gold can still do some correcting before it resumes that uptrend. Because you'll notice that off of this, it only did three up. As soon as it were to break this level, which it already did, it's left it. So that being the case, you're going to at least a move. Also, I think pull down. Now, on a little bit longer term base, I'm thinking that when you get that type of a correction, it should present a nice opportunity to step in and either add to positions or just pick up a new position. Because I think it's going to be a correction here, and I still my longer term again. We're working same thing over in the equity market, a 1-2 and got another 1-2. So we're still looking for the completion point for this internal minute third wave. Come in. If this low does not get taken out, I'd be looking for 2,500 for it to complete. If not, you can see I have. So I think that the longer term outlook for gold is pretty positive. What gold doesn't like is the dollar keeps trying to move itself back from 6 to gold. This gold traders don't. Higher the dollar goes, the lower gold. So, but at the same time, gold is notorious for still being considered a storehouse of value. So in other words, when all else fails, gold will be used. And so I still think that we still have quite a bit of central bank buying in gold. And that's going to be not just the U.S., because I've not really heard that the U.S., but they're always very, very secretive about it. They're adding or taking away from U.S. gold reserves. We never read about that. But I know that the Central Bank of China, the Central Bank of Russia, the Central Bank of India, I believe also Pakistan, I think Japan, a lot of countries are getting themselves ready for digitalization of the currency. I will look at NVIDIA for you. Not a problem. You own the stock, and yes, there are earnings coming, and yes, it is extremely volatile. I will take a look at it. Boy, that's a good one to choose. Thank you for that suggestion. But just to finish up here on gold, central banks are buying gold, and the reason is because currencies are becoming digital. I mean, as much as people say, oh, no, I don't accept that, it's like, well, it's already happening, and it's already here. I mean, when we think about that we can get on our phones or we can get on our computers and I can transfer money any place in the world without having to walk in a bank, without having, you know, my money is deposited in my account digitally. I'm not getting a check and I'm not putting a check in the bank. It's all being just transferred digitally. So it's already basically here. We still have paper currency, but I think eventually that will go by the wayside, that it'll all be digital. And if you live in Europe, you're kind of already used to that. Yes, there's still currencies, there's still euros and physical euros that you could put in your pocket. But banking and bill paying, I lived in the Netherlands in the late 80s to the mid 90s. And I didn't even send any checks. There were no checks. I would never get a check from a bank. Everything was it was electronically added. And I gave them slips that said, oh, go pay this vendor or pay that vendor. But as far as like sending outside of that, no. So digitalization of currency is real. Now, what China is doing is that they would prefer that the yuan is the international currency of trade. Right now, it remains the dollar. So that keeps the dollar in a very big light. Everybody still needs to transfer or buy or sell dollars in order to do commerce. So, but if China is really looking to take that pole position, to take that top position, well, then they've got to be backing a digital currency without, well, what can I do? What do I get if I come walk to the central bank and say, well, here, you can have my digital one. What do I get? They are supposedly, this is what I'm reading and hearing, they're backing it with. So that's keeping an upward bias to gold, as well as a lot of the geopolitical problems that we're seeing in the. If any of them just really ignites, which there are two that come to my mind, that are still very, very volatile. And if anything else hits us on an international stage, it could be positive for gold. So I do think, actually, honestly, I do think that gold will at least see 25 to 2600. Let's go over and take a look at NVIDIA. And right now, NVIDIA is a tough cookie to look at. Now, here we have, this is October of 2020. So this is where I would have marked a primary A wave we're now doing. And but this, interesting too, three, four, absolutely. I could say this is A, this is B. See, it just really comes off in a very strange pattern. Almost one, two, three, four, five. Five down would suggest that what came prior, let's go, let's see what I, yeah, this thing's done splits and everything else. So I'm really looking for this. It came down in five. And that's what's really got me, because I'm going to have to say it's coming down BC. And either I'm going to mark it a four, and this is the five. So let's go back down and take a look at that weekly chart. And there's that low. If we put a wave four on, and we're doing a five wave structure up, here we have two, three, four, fifth. Oh, see, pretty close. One, two, three, four. We're inside the fifth. So it actually is doing pretty much what the NASDAQ as an index is doing. And now I'm going to bring it down and take a look daily. That tried, but it didn't. And look what it did. Three. That's always corrective and not impulsive. And we'd be looking for an impulse wave to take out that high. 67 came within. And for NVIDIA, that's nothing. All right. So if that was the completion point for three, this was A. Wow, very difficult. A, B, C. This was the four. So that's three. This is four. And then we're putting in a five, maybe. All right. So let me get rid of that so I can look at this. So if this is three, A, B, C, four, one, two. So this is what gets very confusing, because there are rules that we apply to the chart for the particular pattern that progress. So that high may remain in place, and the market may choose to, they may like the earnings, but there's something could be said. This company recently, we're going to say off of that low in 2023, which, you know, when we compare that to the, even because NVIDIA is big in the NASDAQ. So I go over and I take a look at the NASDAQ, and I go back to October of 2023, and there it is right there. And that was a low of a B wave. So if I'm going to consider that NVIDIA is going to be in the similar type pattern, to think that low is a B wave and this is a C wave, or like I said, it's a four and this is the fifth wave, and that it's a intermediate degree fifth wave. So we're like one, two, three, B, C, four, and this, wow. Okay, so here's the other side of the coin. If I'm going to put a four here, and I'm expecting an intermediate degree fifth wave up, here's the other side. Because I could say, oh, okay, well, this looks like it could just be finishing. This is wave A of a correction. This is wave B of the correction. And we're going to do a C wave down, which would mean disappointment on the 22nd. They don't report to May the 22nd. But what it also could is this is a four and it's one, two, one, two. That suggests blast off. Now, how do we want to actually measure that? Well, if this is going to be four, three, this is the five. I've got it looking at one. So let's try this. It's not really, I don't think it's going to come in real clean. And the reason is because it's pretty smooth. We're looking at for wave four to wave five. You can see we're not really even where we need. So this one may not. And so what a lot of times what we do on a Fibonacci basis is that we compare the fifth wave to the first wave. And so that would be the first wave. It's the second wave. And I get rid of all these. See the 2168. Nope. But these two, which would be fitting for NVIDIA. And see where 1040. And so if I'm going to go back, I'm going to take a Lee chart. It's 1, 2, 1, 2, 2. If that's how it's going, that's on the to the 4 hour. Open up the window. 2. That's a weird. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2. It's very difficult. Oh, that's kind of what the market is actually as well. So you got two sides to this, and they're really legitimate. Both are legitimate. That the earnings are somehow disappointment or something they say the market don't like, and they just floor this thing. I'm going to show you one other thing that I do when I'm trying to figure out what could be going on. The next major expiration for NVIDIA, of course, is Friday with the monthly. And so I can just improve this. Now, the at the money is going to be 900. So what we look at is, and what I want to look at interest here, I want to look at straddle. And the straddle is that you're buying and selling, or buying or selling both. And I'm sorry for these flashes. I try to get those removed. So we look at the money, which is 900. And see, somebody already has it on. And so if I'm looking to buy it right now, they're willing to sell for $35. So, and that's like you're buying the call and the put. I want to buy it. I want to buy this, right? So I'm buying the call, I'm buying the put, I'm paying $35. So basically what they're saying is they're not expecting more than a $35 move by this Friday. So that doesn't really even consider what the earnings are going to be. So what I also try to do is I take a look at where these strangles. Now the strangles, if you're looking there, what I want to look at is a little bit different, but I look for the delta, and I look for the 25 delta, and that's going to be also the 920 call versus the, and then you're buying the 920 call, and you're buying that, or selling, and you're buying the 915 put. And that's the same price, $35. So what they're kind of telling us, and what the next one that you would go out and look at would be the one, the 24th. Now, this one might show a different picture because we showed for Saturday, but this is 2 days after earnings. So let's go take a look at that one to help you see, well, what is the market, right? So we got the straddle, and now we're going to the same one. Is right now it's the 900, is the at the money, and you can see, look at that. There's your difference. So for the for the earnings, the market right now is factoring in at least a $100 move. But that's up or down. That includes both. But that's the type of move they're expecting. So they're expecting the volatility to kick in and to move this market. Now, one way that I would play the earnings in, it becomes very expensive. I will go back out to that strangle. And I'm now going to be looking for the 25 delta strangle. And that's right here. And that is the 880 call and the 875 put, which is real tight. And I like that. But look at $93. So in essence, when you go and you were to buy a position like this, you need to have that big of a move because you're paying $93. So you're looking for the stock to move either to the upside or downside by at least $93. That's a huge move. But guess what? NVIDIA's been actually doing that. That's how this is the reaction we get. If they've been blowing the doors off their earnings, you get a 100-point move in the stock. So how does that then, when we're looking here, they're just kind of right in between. But now let's look at that. What happens if it is just like a bunch of threes going up? Well, it gets up between now and the 22nd. I can't tell you, but let's just say it ends up here. If we're looking for 100 points up, that's 1,000. You're looking for 100 points down, that's below 800. Just about 800. So that's how that's what I'm looking at expecting. Now, it becomes really difficult to answer your question when you're basically saying, well, what about, for or not? How am I going to answer that? I am answering it. It's unclear. The market doesn't know. And the market is making anybody who wants to come in and play it like that, it's going to cost you $100. You want to put on a position, it's going to cost you $100 because that would be the expected move that they're expecting from those earnings. So do I expect it to go up? You're going to give it a 50-50 chance. Right now, even the market is like, they're not sure. They're only playing to Friday. They're not playing out to earn. There's no way that Elliot or I can try to interpret by the market move what it's going to do after earn. I'm telling you right now, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Suggest blast off or ABC A, 2 or B, and this is a C wave and we get another drop down. Those are the two choices on, sorry to say. And boy, I didn't think I was going to be able to fill an hour, but I guess I, because I know that David has some other things that he wants to do. So again, my name's Michael Filiguera. I am with Logical Signals Doc. Yes, yes. Paul, I'm sorry that you feel it's complete nonsense. I'm not sure what you were looking for. But if you find somebody that's going to tell you with some certainty, that's nonsense. Because you're looking for someone to pin your whatever on analysts. That's also nonsense. But yes. So those basically what I think here, and we'll see. Again, just to tell you that I'm with logicalsystems.com and tradershoppingtraders.com. My email address is michael@mjf1partner.com, and feel free to email me. What I also do have is I have a trade room, and we trade the NASDAQ at the moment. But I do that together with Sasha Goring, who happens to be in Germany. And so we provide our intraday analysis and our picture for that day. And we trade for basically from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So the first half hour is just a lot of the analysis and what expectations for the day might be and what we look for, where breakouts and breakdowns could happen. So because we're day traders. If you have an interest in that, you can go to logicalsignals.com or tradershelpingtraders.com, and then you will find a drop down for the trade room. If not, if you have any questions, because I also provide coaching, please feel free to contact me at michael@mjf1partners. I don't recommend any direction. That would be suicide. You know, I gave you both sides, and I gave you a 50-50% chance. You choose. Okay, David, thank you.
All right, thanks, Michael. Great analysis today. Thank you for being here to do this solo market outlook episode for us.
You're welcome.
So just want to give a quick reminder for everyone. Be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also go to timingresearch.com and get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past shows or events. And Michael, just want to thank you again. So Michael Filguera of logicalsignals.com and tradershelpingtraders.com. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome.